Please open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 33. In your Scofield Bible, turn to page 742. We'll be reading verses 14 through 17 of the 33rd chapter of Isaiah. 17th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. We'll read these four verses responsively. And shall we stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist Church? The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Father, for giving us thy Son, Jesus, for giving him to die in our place. How precious the gift of salvation we share. And it's good that we share this as a common thread that binds us together here in this place. This gives us grounds for fellowship and for seeing thee and each other. And we enjoy the church family. And here we're gathered again to listen to thee, because this is thy word, and thy servant, our preacher, has studied, has given hours to prepare and to give himself to us through thy word. We're appreciative and we thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to bring tonight an encouraging sermon. Turn my treble up, please, up there, if you would, please. I'm going to bring tonight an encouraging sermon. There's something about Christmas that when it's over, more people commit suicide the week after Christmas than any other week of the year. I know I've thought about it. And let me encourage you tonight in the sermon. We were sitting at the table at our Christmas dinner. Christmas is not a very good day for me. How would you like to have set the table with Jack Scott and spend the day with him? Anyway, Cindy and Jack, her husband, and their children were there, and Jacqueline and Kenny were there, and we were sitting at the table, and we'd finished eating, and we had gotten so many sweets. I'm talking about cookies and cakes and so forth. So I took a portion of them and put them in a sack, and I sent them to the rescue mission so they could enjoy some of them. And as you can see, I also enjoyed some of them, too. And you look like you enjoyed yours a great deal also. But meal was over, and I reached over, and some of those who didn't send, I ate a cookie, and I said, "Boy, oh boy, I wonder who the retarded person was that made these." And I ate another kind, and I said, "Oh boy, boy, these are woefully lacking." I said, "We sent the wrong ones to the mission." I said, "Who made those, I wonder?" Cindy said, "I did." I said, "Who's the idiot that gave you the recipe?" Ms. Howell said, "I was the idiot that gave her the recipe." So I announced this morning Ms. Howell was going to Mayo Clinic, but the truth is she left me. And, I'm a little despondent tonight. I want to encourage myself if I can. My text is that one little line in Isaiah 33:17, "Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty." Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing to our people tonight. I want to encourage the hearts of those that might be just a tad discouraged, and lift the spirits of those whose spirits may have fallen a bit. Speak to me and through me to the hearts of the people, please. A Amen. Bless you. Sit up straight. I do not think the message will be as long as usual, though I have often been known to misjudge the length and the longevity of a message. Hezekiah was the king. He was the 12th king of Judah. He ascended to the throne at the age of 25, and perhaps was the greatest of all the kings of Judah. If not the greatest, certainly he was one of the three greatest of all the kings of Judah. He probably led in the greatest revival in the history of Judah. During that revival, he repaired the temple. During that revival, he restored the sacrifices. During that revival, he broke the idols of all the false worshipers. And for 29 years, Hezekiah, the king, reigned over Judah. He was a fixture, a father figure. He was the security of Judah. He was their Winston Churchill. He was their Garibaldi. He was their Franklin Roosevelt. He was their Woodrow Wilson. He was their Douglas MacArthur. He was their Moses, their Mahatma Gandhi, their Marshal Petain, their Julius Caesar. He was the glue that held together the kingdom. He was the thing by which the kingdom consisted and held together. Their security, if you please. In our text, he had become seriously ill. The nation was plunged into war, and their leader was not strong. The people are discouraged. They live in a fog of fear, a storm of struggle, a dirge of doubt, and a haze of helplessness. All looks bleak. Despair seemed inevitable. Hezekiah did what Clinton hadn't got enough sense to do. He called for the man of God. He called for Isaiah the prophet. And brother, it's a pretty sad thing when those who sit on thrones don't call for those who preach the word of God and find out what God says you ought to do. He called for Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah comes and realizes that he's going to pass away and says so. However, Isaiah is not very far away until God sends a message to him and lets him know that the king is being, that his life is being extended by 15 years. So Isaiah announces, the king shall recover. And from that comes our text verse tonight. Isaiah said to the discouraged people in an effort to encourage them, he said to those who were downcast in an effort to lift them, he said, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. He shall wear his regal robe again. He shall wield his sparkling scepter once again. He shall wear his jeweled crown once again. He shall sit on his royal throne once again. He will hold Judah's reins in his hands once again. He will wear his splendor again. His back will be straight again. His legs will be strong again. His face will be flush again. And the eyes of Judah will once again behold the king in his beauty. And Isaiah lifts the spirit to the nation by saying, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. We too could be downtrodden tonight. Jesus, our king, is not very popular. It looks bleak now to the cause of Christ. Our government has said to our public schools, get your Bible out. And he said, God, get out of our schools and take your book with you. And that's one reason, brother, I would not send a kid to a public school. You couldn't talk me into sending a kid to a public school. Now, if your child's in a public school, I'm your pastor, I love you, but I've got to tell you what I think is the truth, and I would never send a child to a public school. Oh, you say for the Highlands, I was reading the public school. You don't understand the difference in what they were 50, 25 years ago and what they're like now. But our public schools have said, God, get out and take your book with you and take your son with you. This book has been revised and changed. To mention his name in public is considered fanaticism. His virgin birth is doubted. His sinless life is attacked. His deity is questioned. His resurrection is maligned. His second coming is ignored. His gospel is perverted. His blood is minimized. His church is neglected. His name is profaned. His great commission is disobeyed. And he is a curse word to many. But, bless God, thine eyes shall see our King in his beauty. So let me encourage you tonight, folks. Jesus may be cursed tonight, but thine eyes shall someday see the King in his beauty. Mary and Joseph saw him in his birth, and the shepherds saw him in his infancy. The wise men saw his childhood, and Joseph saw the carpenter of Nazareth. Learned men saw his adolescence, and Mary and Martha saw him as a guest. Pilate saw him as a defendant, and Nicodemus saw him as a teacher. Peter, James, and John saw him in his transfiguration glory, and Mary saw him as her son. Some saw him as Jeremiah. Others thought he was Elijah. And some thought one of the prophets. Magdalene saw him as master. Stephen saw him as the high priest. The thief saw him as the savior. Herod saw him as a rival. The Pharisees saw him as an impostor. The soldiers saw him as a felon. Thomas saw him as his Lord and his God. The centurion saw him as the Son of God. But thank God, one day we shall see the King in his beauty. Did you hear that? So enjoy yourself, homosexuals. One of these days you will look face to face with the King in his beauty. Enjoy him with your godless lifestyle and your shallow victories, queers. Enjoy him with your parades and your men wearing their earrings and your queer marriages and your unusual dress and your dirty demonstrations and your baby adoptions and but you just wait till the King comes, and you're going to see the King in his beauty one of these days and give an account for your godless lifestyle. Enjoy yourself, baby killers, with your hands dripping with blood. Enjoy yourself, doctors, for nothing more than murderers on the loose who ought to be in the electric chair. Enjoy yourself, because one day you'll see the King in his beauty when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Enjoy yourself, rock music crowd. Enjoy yourself, Madonna, Michael Jackson, Prince, Rolling Stones. Bless God, there's another stone that was rolled way back down to 2,000 years ago. Enjoy yourself with your sensuous filth. Go ahead. But one of these days, Miss Madonna, one of these days, Mr. Prince, one of these days, Mr. or Miss Jackson, one of these days, you're going to see the King in his beauty, and every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank God. Someday, it may be tonight, I don't know, but we shall see the King in his beauty. Lift up your heart, discouraged one. Arise up, fallen one, and smile, defeated one. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Enjoy yourself, liberals, with your bloodless and powerless gospel. You'll bow your knee to Jesus one day and confess him as Lord after it's too late. Enjoy yourself, HBO and Showtime and soap operas and Hollywood and NBC and ABC and CBS with all your filth and garbage. Enjoy yourself that one of these days thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. And you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Enjoy yourself, Madeline Murray O'Hare. You too will bow one of these days and confess that Jesus is Lord when you see the King in his beauty. Enjoy yourself, Hugh Hefner, with the dirty, sexy, godless doctrine that's helped to ruin America. Enjoy yourself, Playboy philosophy. Live it up.
But one of these days, when the King of Kings shall come, and you'll stand before the King of Kings at the great white throne judgment, and you'll see the King in his beauty, then you'll bow your tongue by your knees, but it's too late, and you'll confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Enjoy yourself, Zondervan. Nelson Publishers. Broadman Press. With your dirty Bibles. How dare you take the eternal preserved Word of God and profane the blessed Word of God? Enjoy yourself as you put out your little substitute false Bibles. Enjoy yourself as you put out your NIV or your ASV or RSV or New King James or New Scofield or New American Standard Version or Reader's Digest Condensed Version of the Bible. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. But one of these days, every one of you will confess that this book I hold right here is God's book, preserved word for word. I say enjoy yourself, but one day, bless God, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Enjoy yourself. Hamilton County Baptist Association, as you expel Dr. Lee Robertson from your membership, you'll be sorry when thine eyes behold the King in his beauty. Enjoy yourself. Tarrant County Baptist Association, as you voted Dr. John Rice from your ranks, one of these days you'll be sorry when you see the King in his beauty. Enjoy yourself, London the Baptist Association, who expelled the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. One of these days you'll see the King in his beauty. Enjoy yourself, godless professors who take little innocent children who sit at your knees and shake their faith in the book that built this country. Ladies and gentlemen, when our schools believe this book, and our teachers believe this book, we have a decent country. Enjoy yourself. And by the way, I wouldn't give you a dime for every state university in America. Let me say it again. I wouldn't give you one dime for every state university in America. I'm trying to say, anybody that will shake your faith in this book is of the devil. And one day, they'll be sorry when they see the King in his duty. Enjoy yourself, public schools. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Likewise, take courage in battle, preacher. Dread and go to your pulpit next Sunday. Hang in there. One day, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Take courage, cancer patient, awaiting the results of the test. Take courage. One day, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Take courage, broken-hearted parent, wondering where you made a mistake. One day, thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Boy, I can hardly think about this. I wonder what he looks like. I wonder how tall he is. I wonder exactly how he looks. Well, bless God, I'm 72 years of age. It just won't be long. I'll write back and tell you what he looks like. Hey, my mama is seeing him tonight, the King in his duty. Dr. John Rice preached him for many years. Tonight, he sees the King in his duty. My good friend Lester Olaf is facing the King in his duty. And one day, bless God, the one I preached for 53 years, the one I preached about over 63,000 times, I shall behold his face, and I shall, hallelujah, see the King in his duty. Take courage, deserted wife, wondering how you can make ends meet. You'll be worth it all when you see the King in his duty. Take courage, weary father. With work beyond reason, thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, Magdalene, walking away from the tomb. Thine eyes are about to see the King in his duty. Take courage, Mary, the mother of Jesus, walking away from Calvary with John with a broken heart. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, Emmaus' disciples, broken by sorrow. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, beloved John, with no breast on which to lean. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, lonely widow, facing life's balance alone. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, faithful pastor, whose seed outnumbers your harvest. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, dear preacher, watching false charges drip from venomous tongues. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, Lonely 11, with your captain gone, and you with nothing but a commission to cover the world with the gospel. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, Martha, with an empty place at your table. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, grieving Lazarus, wishing you hadn't been called back. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, weeping Mary, with a fresh supply in your alabaster box, but no Savior to anoint. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, paralyzed one. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. Take courage, little widow, young widow. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. My mama was on the deathbed at Chandler House Anderson College Clinic. I was by her bedside, and she looked up and she said, "Son, do you see Uncle Harvey? There he is right there." I said, "No, Mother, but I think you can see him." By the way, don't tell me it's no heaven. My mama saw it and told me what she saw. She said, "Son, do you see Aunt Jimmy? There she is. Do you see Uncle Roy? There's Uncle Roy. And there's Enoch, Uncle Basil, and Aunt Gara. Do you see him, son?" I said, "No, Mother, but I believe you can." Then she said, "Son, do you look at there, son. There's my daughter, Doreen, who was afflicted and died when she was 7. She's crippled. She never walked to talk. Son, there she is. She's walking. She's running to meet me, son. Do you see her?" I said, "No, Mother, but bless God, I believe you can see her." She said, "And there's Hazel, my second daughter, who died when she was 7. There she is." She said, "Hazel and Lorene, you never have met your brother, Jack, have you? And Jack, you've never met Hazel and Lorene, have you?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I haven't." And Mama said, "Hazel and Lorene, I want you to meet Jack, your brother. And Jack, I want you to meet Hazel and Lorene." I know what to do. I just said, "Hi." And my mother said, "Are you listening to me?" My mama said, "Son, do you see him?" "Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. Mine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Mine eyes shall see the King on his throne. Mine eyes shall see the King in his glory when Jesus returns for his own." Mama said, "There he is, son. Can't you see him?" I said, "No, Mama." She said, "There's Jesus, son. Can't you see him?" And I talked to my mother while she was beholding the King in his beauty. Bless God, that's what it's all about. When you see the nail-scarred hands, and you see the crown of thorns, the place where the crown of thorns was placed on his brow. When I survey Jesus and see him, I shall see the King in his beauty. And ladies and gentlemen, everybody in this room will see him and rejoice because you see him, or you'll see him and he'll cast you in the fires of hell, and you'll bow your knee too late and confess too late. In God's name, you put your trust in him now and confess him while there's time. Take courage, homesick missionary on foreign soil. Thine eyes shall see the King in his duty. We shall see him clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt with a golden girdle, his head and hairs white like wool, as white as snow, his eyes as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, his voice as the sound of many waters, his throne like a fiery flame, his body like pearl, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, on his head many crowns, and clothed in a vesture dipped in his own blood, on a white horse holding a bow with a vesture and a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We shall see him on a great white throne sitting as the King of Kings, the King of Salem, the King of Glory, the King of Israel, the King of Zion, the King forever, the King everlasting, the King eternal, the King supreme. Hallelujah! Mine eyes shall see the King in his glory. When I see him, when he comes the next time, he will not come as the Lamb of God, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will not come on the foal of a donkey. He'll come riding on a white stallion. He'll not come the second time wearing a crown of thorns. He'll come wearing a crown of glory. He'll not come the second time hanging from a cross. He'll come sitting upon a throne. He'll not come the second time weeping in Gethsemane, but shouting on Mount Megiddo. He'll not come the second time to be crucified. He'll come the second time to be crowned. He'll not come the second time as a wearing a borrowed overcoat, but rather a robe of righteousness, not wielding a walking stick borrowed from a soldier, but wielding a royal scepter. He'll not come the second time to be judged in Pilate's hall, but to judge Pilate in his hall. He'll not come the second time as a submissive one, but as the conquering one. I shall see him in the air, when the trump of God shall sound, and the voice of the archangel shall pierce the skies. And John Rice shall rise from down there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And Lester Roloff will rise from down in Corpus Christi, Texas. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr. will rise from down in Greenville, South Carolina. And my mama shall wake up and arise from out in the cemetery at Memory Lane. And those who are dead in Christ shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we shall see the King in his beauty. I shall see him at the judgment seat, when they stand before him, not to decide whether or not we're going to go to heaven. I heard a preacher not long ago preaching on the judgment. He said, one day, he said, you're going to stand before God, and God's going to have all your bad deeds over here and all your good deeds over here, and God's going to add up all your bad deeds and all your good deeds, and if your good deeds are more than your bad deeds, you're going to go to heaven. If your bad deeds are more than your good deeds, you're going to go to hell. I'm sorry, boy, I'm on my way to the lake of fire, and so are you. But bless God, all my bad deeds were erased from my record when Jesus justified me, and all his good deeds are placed on my record. And I shall see the King in his beauty when he gives me the crowns on my head. I take my crowns off and throw them at Jesus' feet and say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive power and honor and glory world without end. I shall see the King in his beauty. I shall see him at the marriage of the Lamb, when he is the bridegroom and I and you and me is the lovely bride. I shall see him when he saddles a white horse. In fact, I plan to ride one right beside him. Comes back to the earth. And I shall see him as he sings the royal stairway to Mount Zion. And the headquarters of the world will not be Moscow or Washington or Paris or London. It'll be a little town called Jerusalem. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does six successive journeys run. Think of it. In just a few days, I don't know how long it'll be. In just a few days, years at the most, I'll see him. And then I'll see him in heaven. And I'll see him when he comes again in his glory. And I'll see him at the judgment seat in the marriage of the Lamb. And I'll see him when he sits on the throne in Mount Zion and becomes the King of all the world, bless God. And I shall say, you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to taking the Lord's Supper with him. The Bible said that Jesus said to the disciples, you'll not eat this with me until the kingdom comes. And Jesus passes the tray out to me, and I see those wounds there still in his hands. And I'll look and see the blood which that supper represents. And I'll see the flesh that was wounded and broken on Calvary. I shall see the King in his beauty. I shall see the King in his beauty when he puts down the Antichrist. And I shall see the King in his beauty when he judges the unsaved at the great white throne judgment. And I shall see the King in his beauty in the New Jerusalem forever and ever and ever. I love that little scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which talks about the rapture, that last line, so shall we ever be with the Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him as Lord of all. Thank God. Pretty dark for Judah. Their king was sick. War was inevitable. In fact, it was engaged in war at the time. Discouragement. Despondency. The king lies on his what is supposedly his deathbed. The security of all the people is dying. Their Churchill, their Roosevelt, their Woodrow Wilson, their Moses. Isaiah comes, looks at the king and pronounces the fact that the king is going to die. Isaiah leaves for a season, comes back, and God gives him a message. He goes out and tells the people the good news. You may be discouraged now, but I've got some good news for you. That I shall see King Hezekiah in his beauty, and glory be to God, mine eyes and your eyes shall see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King Jesus, in his beauty. Take courage tonight. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, it's been a long time since that Watch Night service, 50-some-odd years ago, when the timidest young man that ever started to preach walked down the aisle and said, Brother Sizemore, God's called me to preach. It's been a long time. I preached about you all over America and around the world. And dear Jesus, I've told people about you in personal soul winning enough of these years. I've tried to exalt you. I've tried to magnify you, but never seen you. But one day, mine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. I can take courage over that. When the clouds come, my spirits can be lifted. When I realize that I shall see the King in his beauty. Bless the people tonight. Encourage the discouraged. Lift up the fallen. Cheer the depressed. Make happy the melancholy. As we realize in this dark night, as it was for Judah in days of old, our King isn't very popular. But one day, he will be. And we shall see him in his beauty. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.